We open God's Word together this morning in Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, our text is verse 15. Let's read the chapter. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye camp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, and upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, and that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Beloved of God, traditionally, Old Year's Night is for looking back. New Year's Morning is for looking forward into the new year. With that in mind, our text this morning is verse 15 of Exodus chapter 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Beloved of God, the Israelites have been delivered by the time of our text from Egypt by means of the 10 plagues, like an OB doctor might use a forceps to pull a child out of the womb. God has used the 10 plagues to pull his child Israel out of the house of bondage as a picture of his work by the Holy Spirit of regeneration that pulls us spiritually out of the bondage of sin. Now, Canaan lies before the Israelites, and now the heavenly Canaan lies before us. Go forward, Israel. Go forward, Church of God, on that way. For us this morning, it's forward into the next year of the Christian life of service to God in the midst of the spiritual wilderness that is this world. Go, go. But what if God puts us in a position where it seems impossible to go forward? God does that sometimes. That's the situation that he put Israel in here in the text. In verse 1, God said to Moses, Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn. They were down here. He had them turn and go up and encamp before Pi-hahiroth between Migdol and the sea over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. This particular position that God told Israel to enter was basically a cul-de-sac. Once they got there, the Red Sea was right here before them. To their left were the fortress cities of Egypt, Pi-hahiroth, Migdol, Baal-zephon. To their right were the mountains that were at the northern part of the wilderness. When they saw that they were stuck here in this cul-de-sac, and they turned around, what did they see coming behind them, children? They saw a cloud of dust out there in the distance. And they felt the ground start to shake. The cavalry of the Egyptians, the chariots, and the footmen. They were trapped. Trapped. And they're scared. And yet the command of God comes to them and says, Go forward. Where's forward? Straight into the sea. Right there, into the foaming waters. Thus saith the Lord through Moses. Go, go right there. Maybe you feel like you're in such a situation now at the start of this new year. Stuck. Not sure which way to turn. where to go. In every way seems utterly impossible. Or maybe you're unsure of what this new year might bring, and you're hesitant, you're scared. But this is the way. Forward is the way. Even if it's a sea, that is, forward into the same callings that He Himself places upon you, forward into the service of His name in this upcoming year, trusting that this way, though it seems impossible and frightening, is the way of our God's salvation, that He will ensure that it is so. Let's take that up under the theme, go forward, go forward. Let's notice first the calling, second the calm, and third the care. Go forward, the calling, the calm, and the care. The call itself, go forward. The Hebrew word is the word for march. March forward. Literally, pull up the tent pegs and march. And we apply that to ourselves. It's the calling to embrace the life that He has granted to us, especially the callings that He has given to us. What is our life? It's structured by our callings. It's not a call to go physically anywhere necessarily, but it's a call to enter into your callings. Go forward into your callings. That's the Christian life. That's what really structures the Christian life. And it's a calling to march into them without hesitation, but to embrace them, this Christian life that He has given to you, that He has set right before you. Embrace them with zeal and enter into them and say, this is what God gives me. I will take it and I will enter into it for His glory. When a general of an army gives this command, march, march forward. He's saying, enter into the call that I have set before you as your general, the assignment, the task He gives to His army. Take the hill. Take this part of the enemy's territory. Go into it, and go into it with zeal. Embrace this call that I have set before you. March. Not sort of sullenly drag your feet behind you or sort of go forward, but like Lot's wife constantly looking backward, but enter into it, embrace it with the confidence that the general calls you to this and the desire to take hold of the task and responsibility that He gives. And that army does so. It goes forward into that calling, trusting the general who has called him to enter into it, knowing that it is good and right. So too, whatever our callings are, we have the assurance that it's the good and the right way. That the great general calls us to enter into this. It must be the right way. We have the cover of His wisdom and of His promises over us. Psalm 139, verse 5, Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thy hand upon me. If that's true, let us go forward. We have the means of grace to strengthen us. If that's true, let us go forward. It's a call. It comes to individuals, families, congregation, the Church of Christ as a whole. Enter into it, embrace it, march into it, and we dare not disobey. Specifically, it means then for those of us who are married, embrace that marriage that God has given to you. Serve Him in it as He calls you to do so. Nope, this man or this woman is not perfect. Far from it. But this is your calling. Enter into it. These are your marching orders from God Himself. Embrace it with zeal. If you are single, go forward into your singlehood. Maybe you wish you weren't single. And perhaps the sorrow of that singlehood or of the loss of a spouse is difficult. But the call of God is enter into this. This is a calling of Jehovah. Embrace this opportunity and even the freedom of time you have to serve the Lord with it. This is a call that comes to office bearers. Go forward. Enter in, embrace. Some will be put into the office this coming Sunday. Others have been in the office for 2 years or 1 year already. And the temptation is to pull back, starting to feel tired, weary. Go forward. Go forward into the service of God. He puts it before you. Don't shrink back. Don't say, I'm going to slide through this next year. Everybody else can do things and I'll take it easy. But embrace with joyful service what God puts in front of you. That's the call of the text. Go forward. Parents. Tired. Maybe physically tired. Maybe emotionally drained. Even spiritually tired. Maybe you feel like hardly anything's getting through. Keep repeating the same things. Discipline. Go forward into this wilderness, this calling that he places before you. Enter into it. Embrace it with zeal. Don't hold back. Don't slide by. Not long, and they'll be out of the house, never to return to your instruction and care. This is a limited opportunity. Embrace it with zeal and joy. Old age, go forward. Can't you smell Canaan's land already? Go forward. Don't shrink back. Embrace. Go forward, perhaps, into new callings, new opportunities for service that God gives that maybe are different from last year. Perhaps he gives you a new job, perhaps a new place of service in the church, maybe a committee in the church or some other aspect. Maybe he's handed you now a new child. Perhaps this year will bring new trials, new circumstances into your life that you had not known before. Perhaps a new opportunity for witness to his name. But if it's genuinely from him, then his call is go forward into it, enter into it, right into it, embrace it as the call of the general to the people, enter in. It's an antithetical call, if you think about it. Enter into the callings that God gives to you. Because the world gives this call to go forward too, it does so at this time, the start of a new year. Everybody's thinking about going forward. And the world says, go forward. But it's not go forward into your callings from Jehovah God. But in fact, very loudly, the cry is quite often to forsake your callings. Go forward, but go forward into whatever might please you. And if your calling doesn't please you, then break out. It's time to go forward. Take that new step. Leave your marriage behind. Take the leap and finally do it at the beginning of this year. It's time to go forward and leave your callings, the things that give you some difficulty and trouble. It's time for something new and something exciting. Make it all about you. You do you this year. Indulge yourself. That's the call of this world, but it's not the call of the text. The call of the text is enter into the same callings that he's given to you and any new ones he might place before you. What he says to you in your life. Go forward in that. Go forward into spiritual growth. To the use of the means of grace. Family worship. Of worship in the church, of personal devotion. Go forward into spiritual warfare, into slaying sin and the influence of the godlessness of the age that you see is upon you and upon your family. This is the calling. But now, what if forward looks impossible? What if it looks like there's a sea in front of me? I can see the waves rising up, the foaming waters. If I go forward, I'm liable to drown in there. How can I handle this? Yes, this is a calling from God, but I don't know. It doesn't seem like this is the right way to go. And the temptation is to back away from my God-given callings. Is your marriage a struggle at times? Go forward into my marriage, but it looks like it's impossible. It's an impassable sea. What do you mean? Don't you understand? What kind of a husband my husband is, or wife my wife is? Their personality, it just grates on me. My children, well, they're children. Enough said. I'll cook, I'll clean, but that's why we have the Christian school. That's why we have catechism, so that I don't have to raise them. I can just send them there, and that's the end of it. The church, calling from God, a place in the church. Well, I'd embrace it. I'd embrace it with zeal as God's call upon me if it wasn't for the fact that there's other people that I have to deal with. And their selfishness or their opinions or their laziness, and heaven protect us if our laziness and selfishness affects his bride. But I could embrace it. I could do it if it wasn't for everybody else. If I could just do it myself and leave everybody else behind, I'd embrace it. But to have to deal with people, that's a sea. It's impossible. Or perhaps we look at our callings that God gives to us. We are to go forward in this new year and say, I'll embrace some of them, but not others of them. I'm the kind of person, I really enjoy work in the church. I'll embrace that, the work in the church, but at home things are horrible. Or I'll go to work, I love going to work, and I'll work long, long hours, not because I have to, but because I'm tired of my family, I'm sick of them. Or I love my family and I love family life, but I don't want to deal with anybody at church. New opportunities, new callings God might place upon me in this coming year. I don't like that. I don't like change. I just like to sit. It's too frightening. Looks like a sea in front of me to have to do some kind of new thing that God would put before me. Safer just to sit on the shore. Embrace the Christian life, growth. It's easier just to slide through. The elders, they can't tell if I'm listening or not. Just sit in the pew, nod off for a while. I don't need to embrace it. Just sit there. Christian growth is an impossible sea. It's difficult. It's difficult to grow in his name and to serve him that way. And the church as a whole can look around her and be frightened. Stand up for truth in the midst of this wicked world. It's impossible. Impossible. Just give it up. Just slide through. Evangelism, missions in this culture, just give it up. Just slide through. Raising covenant seed in this, let's just raise them to be pretty decent people and leave it at that. We're hemmed in. Give it up. There's nowhere else to go. We're in a cul-de-sac. We can't go forward. We can't go backward, left or right. Let's just sit. And that's where God sits us down. calms us, lifts our eyes off of the cul-de-sac itself and up to him, and then back down to the cul-de-sac to look at it with eyes of faith. And yes, that's precisely what he's doing right now in this worship service at the start of this new year, as it's precisely what he did for Israel in our text. To see that, we have to draw in now a bit of the context, especially verse 13. And when we do, we're going to see something that at first seems very strange about this passage, and that is that it seems like there's contradictory commands here right next to each other. Look at verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, they're already in this cul-de-sac, they're backed up, they've seen the Egyptians. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you've seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Stand still. And then we keep reading, and the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Stand still. Go forward. But it's not contradictory. It's complementary, and perfectly and wonderfully so. And the order of the two is oh so important for you and for me too. First, they are told to stand still. To be still. And to see the salvation of their God. That means to envision the salvation of their God in this situation. The God who had delivered them from the 10 plagues. See it in your mind with the eye of faith. Stand still, look up to him, remember who he is, and come back down to this situation. And though you don't know all the details, envision your God saving you through this. And then go forward. They needed exactly this. They needed stand still and then go forward. Once they turned around and saw the Egyptians behind them and realized they were hemmed in, they were scared, they were anxious, and they were even angry. They lash out at Moses in verses 11 and 12. Some sharp words. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Been better us for us to serve the Egyptians than die out here in the wilderness? And they're anxious and they're scared and they lash out of their anxiety. And that's how it can be for us too in these situations. We get scared, we get anxious, and we get testy, and the kids can tell it. And the stress builds, and it's because we're scared, we're afraid. We're supposed to go forward, but forward looks impossible. It's a sea in this situation. And we want to go backward, but we go backward, that doesn't work. We want to turn to the left, that doesn't work. To the right, it doesn't work either. All I could do is go forward, but go forward is impossible. And we lash out, and we're anxious, and we're getting all in a tizzy. Stand still. Still. Which is the hardest thing to do in that moment. Still on the inside. But how do I, where can I? Still. Look to him. Be still and know that I am God, and look with the eye of faith into this situation. Bring God into the picture. You're looking at it without him. Put him on as the glass. Have you forgotten already that he just delivered you by these plagues out of the hand of Egypt? You're not bringing him into the situation. Stand still and think about him. Calm yourself and now look back at this situation again. and his call to you to go forward into it, into your callings that look difficult and so impossible. And see there with the eye of faith, there's salvation in there. He's going to save me by calling me to do this. This is the point of our forefathers giving us this worship service in our Reformed church order at the beginning of a year. Sit still, church, and look into that new year and the callings that he places upon you, and how frightening it might seem sometimes, but sit still and bring him into it. Look at it with the eye of faith and see there's salvation in that year. There's salvation in that year, in those callings that he tells me to go forward into. Yes, it's going to be hard. That one thing we know for sure. But don't look at it without the lenses of him. Have you forgotten already what he's done for you last year and the year before? The saving of you. There's going to be sanctification. Walking right into that impossible calling. Serving him in your Christian life, difficult though it seems. He's going to show himself faithful. He's going to make a way for you. He's going to build you up in trust. You're going to trust him as you walk into that impossible situation. He's going to show you his power and his mind, his protecting love and care. Sit still. Look at it that way. And after that, go. Go. There's a going forward. That comes not out of first standing still and bringing him into the situation. And it's not recommended. Where a person goes forward in their own strength. There's certain personalities that are very tempted by this. They never see a challenge that they don't want to dive headlong into. So they don't count the cost. They don't sit still at all. They don't bring the Lord into the situation. They just dive in, and I'll swim through that Red Sea. And they go in, but they've been going in their own strength, and they start to drown, and then they want out. That's not the kind of going forward God calls for, is it? He calls us to sit still first, examine, and really go forward with him in the stillness and peace of knowing his purpose, his spiritual purpose for us in it. Go forward with him. Once we go that way, once we have that, once we've done that, with the spiritual eye of faith upon it, we must go forward, forward, forward. When this New Year's service is over, where we've been still and brought God into our view of this year, you leave here and you go. You go into it. You go into those callings. You go into that service of him. When we sit still on the Lord's Day at the beginning of a week and view this upcoming week with the eyes of faith and bring him into it and see the salvation of our God in this coming week, then after that Lord's Day is over, you go. You enter in. Look what God says. Right after they sat still and accomplished this perspective. In verse 15, then the command is, the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forth. This is an astounding verse. Wherefore criest thou unto me? God is reprimanding Moses for praying. Why are you praying to me, Moses? You've sat still. You understand. You're seeing with the eye of faith. There's salvation in this. You know what you need to do. You must go forward. What's there to pray about anymore? There's a time to stop praying and to start going. And we know what the calling of God is, because we know it's from His Word, not our own feelings, but from His Word. When we've stood still, when we know we're going into it with Him, not leaving Him behind, going in our own strength, and we've seen the salvation of our God that He will bring, and I go in peace, when time for prayer is over. Sometimes we can use prayer almost as a delay tactic because we don't want to go forward, and it seems a whole lot more spiritual just to say, well, I'm going to pray about it. If you told your child to go clean his room, and his response to you was, well, Mom, I see what you're saying. Let me pray about it for 3 or 4 days, and then I'll get back to you. You'd say, you don't have to pray about this. This is your calling. The Scripture says, obey your mother in the Lord. You go. You could sit still for a moment and see the salvation that God is bringing you into this. But then you go. Nothing to pray about. And with our callings, our God-given callings that we know are from Him, we go. We have to have the right frame of mind spiritually. We sit still. We see Him. We look at that in that light. And we go. And you love your wife. You sacrifice yourself for her, no matter what she did. No matter what she did or will do. And you respect your husband. And you honor him. Whatever his personality might be. And you raise your children. Not let them raise themselves under your house. You raise them. And you serve the body of Jesus Christ. You serve them. And you take up your God-given appointments in His name. We've sat still this morning for a few moments. We've looked up. We've brought God into the situation. You could see sanctification. You could see He's going to show His faithfulness in this. I know it still looks like a sea, but it's time to go. Go forward. Into this year, the callings of this year. And as you do, watch. Because the thing that was so frightening to us, so impossible, looks so difficult, it's going to become, in reality, what I saw it was going to be when I looked at it with the eye of faith. It becomes the way of our salvation. As it did for Israel, the sea opened up by an east wind. They went forward. It was still scary. It was still difficult. It's not that it became easy. And it's not that now going forward and entering into 2020 and our callings into it are going to be easy now that we've sat still and brought this perspective on it. There is still a storm raging, as Psalm 77 makes clear. walls of water on both sides. God didn't cause a tunnel to magically appear that was air-conditioned on the inside for them. But it was the way of their further salvation. The enemies were destroyed when the waters came down upon them. They knew that the same God who fought for them in the 10 plagues was still with them right now and fighting for them through the wilderness. They grew in trust. They saw the faithfulness of their God. They were encouraged to keep going forward. Look at the end of the chapter. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord, and they believed the Lord and his servant Moses. They saw the salvation of their God played out. What they saw with the eye of faith, they now saw with the eye. So too we. You're going to see that you're entering into your callings, embracing them. At the call of the great general of the army is the way of your sanctification. That's salvation. And having regenerated you, he's sanctifying you. You're going to see him show his faithfulness. You're going to see him preserve and keep. You're going to see him do it. He did this for Israel. They didn't do it. Their going forward did not cause Egypt to be destroyed. God did it. But his giving them to go forward was how they saw it. And in the way of going forward, they knew it. Who doesn't testify to the truth of this in their own experience? Looking back at the past year and the past years, see him working sovereignly in your life, in all of those difficult situations, the way you grow in patience and faith and trust. You see him showing himself so clearly, so faithfully to you. How is it then that we still want to stand back on the shore and say to him, give me the specific results first, and then I'll move in? Israelites didn't know all the specific details. When they sat still and looked with the eye of faith and saw the salvation of their God, they didn't know that it was going to come by the walls of water falling upon the Egyptians. They didn't know the details. He never gives us the details. Abraham, leave Ur. No, I'm not telling you where you're going. Abraham, head out with Isaac and with a knife. No, I'm not telling you. In the way of going, he shows himself. Trust, beloved, that the path that he sets before you in this coming year, difficult though it might seem, it's the path where he will further your salvation, show himself faithful. Isn't there something exciting about it? It might look like a sea, but he's the God who parts seas. There's expectation. How is this going to go? How is he going to grow me? How is he going to show himself faithful? We've sat still. We've envisioned, we've brought God, we've envisioned the salvation that he'll bring in 2020 and the carrying out of our callings. Now, forward, church, for the glory of his name. Amen. Father, bless thy word to our hearing. Give us to enter into this year this way for the honor of thy name. Amen.